irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
You would be, and on April 13th, the day before a very holy day.
That's right.
Good Friday tomorrow.
That's right.
The Easter weekend coming up, right? Do you think those gray clouds are going to clear up?
You know, I have here in my script, Michael, to read.
Is there a song in that somewhere?
What a beautiful day we have here in our studios in Sherman Oaks, but the clouds ruined the intro to our script. What are we supposed to do, Matt?
I know, right? we see everything out here, but we rarely see gray clouds.
But if you walk around to the other side of the building, it's gorgeous. So, and we did have a gorgeous week here in Southern California.
We did. We're lucky. We're very lucky.
Yeah.
People don't have that opportunity in other parts of the country, but we do.
We do. That's
so
right.
So don't move here, though, just for that. Please. Please.
That's right.
Actually, they say the numbers are drastically down for the last 2 years.
That's
of people moving into the state.
I stopped having children.
Was it that? Was
completely decreased the California population.
Oh my gosh!
Michael, how was your week, man?
You know, it's good. It's always good. This week was kind of a family week. My family being my two dogs and myself, and having to take them to the vet for an unusual problem, which I can't even go into here on the program.
Unless we want to be sponsored by local vets.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, you know, nothing's cheap when you go to the vet. Right?
That's right. That's right.
But at least they're over that little glitch in their health. But, you know, when you look in their eyes and they cannot tell you exactly what's going on, it is very frustrating.
Yeah.
So you have to go to a professional that tells you what he thinks is going on and then charges you three times as much for that.
But it all turned out okay. They're home and happy and healthy again.
Good. Yeah,
I'm very glad to hear
that. Yeah, they are.
Well, obviously it is a beautiful day here, although there certainly are some clouds out there. And honestly, this is the end of a really great week of weather here in Southern California.
You're absolutely correct. And you know, we have great guests in studio with us today, and it makes it seem even brighter that they are here joining us to talk about some exciting new happenings at the Colony Theater, including a mentoring program for teens and a wildly successful one-man show, Talking to Myself, coming to the Colony on April 20th.
That's right. Well, let's not wait any longer to bring in these three amazing guests. Let's go ahead and welcome them in.
Absolutely. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Scott Damian and Heather Provost.
And, of course, James Arnold Taylor joining us here today.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. An embarrassment of riches here today, Michael. No doubt about
it. And a surprise. We didn't know if we could get James.
That's
today.
Right. We got lucky. It's a good
so
day.
Busy all the time.
Buying lottery tickets on the way home.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is obviously a great thing here. We'll talk more of them just a little bit. But before we do that, we ought to pay bills and thank our sponsors, yeah?
I think yes. Yes, we'd like to thank our sponsor, ladies and gentlemen, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
Indeed we are. Did they get a little applause?
We should give them some applause.
I think so. Mike Napoli, that's for you.
Anybody gives us money, we always applaud. Randomly on the street, it doesn't matter. Obviously, we encourage you to go check out Breakdown Services and, of course, Performing Arts Live. Lots of good stuff going on there and some good places to see what's going on around you and your neck of the woods.
So, no, wait a minute. I didn't ask you. How was your week, quickly?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask, Michael. It's been a week. Yeah, So obviously, this is a strange time of year.
You know, I must tell you, because they don't necessarily know, the in-studio people, Andrew is also a man of many, many talents. He is an author himself. He writes beautiful plays. He professionally, your day job, so to speak, is as a fight coordinator for movies, TV, and whatever else is.
But I'm trying to get into belly dancing, which I think is going to take off at any moment, truly. The truth of the matter is most people in Los Angeles, I've found, have to do like 19 things until we can figure out what the heck we can do all right, and somebody will pay us for it eventually. So I'm still halfway pushing through all that. And it was funny because this week I had jobs in San Bernardino, in Santa Barbara, and in San Diego. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's the worst places to have to drive during this week when obviously there was a ton of traffic. Everybody was on spring break.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And of course, my own children were on spring break as well. So I piggybacked a job in Santa Barbara and took them up to the Santa Barbara Jew.
Santa Barbara Jew? Is the one hanging out
A gentleman
there?
I'd like to visit more than once.
Oh,
Santa Barbara Zoo. Strangely enough, not that many Jews at the Santa Barbara Zoo, unfortunately. Wow. But it was interesting to be there.
You're turning red. You're turning red, Andrew David James.
My half-Jewish aunt will be calling it at any moment going, how can you say that on the radio, Andrew? It was interesting to be at the zoo because my kids got to feed giraffes. Uh-huh. And that was a cool thing. So it was funny to have them actually like be up there and feeding these giraffes. And the line was terribly long. And it was so funny to watch these kids just their eyes, their excitement just was overjoyed with fun because they could see the giraffe coming up to them. And that's a towering animal, huge animal. And the Santa Barbara Zoo does a really great job. Obviously, it's a lot of fun for kids. And, you know, it's an hour away from my house, which was really, really nice.
So, what is the average height of a giraffe?
You know, I don't know. I didn't look it up. But I'll tell you, these were at least 10 feet high at their when they were coming up to the observation tower. The kids were 10 feet off the ground. So the giraffes were 12 to at minimum. Yeah, they were really great. And the lions are right next to the giraffes, which always seemed kind of odd because the lions are sitting going, there's lunch, but I can't get to it.
You know, I'm from Santa Barbara.
Oh, beautiful.
This is James talking to you. Born and raised in Santa Barbara, and my first apartment with my wife when we were first married was right in front of the zoo.
Oh,
and
that's
so
great.
Every night we would hear those animals.
Yeah. You felt like you're in the jungle.
Yeah, it was great, but it's wonderful.
I need to have a Wemoep on my soundboard today, but I don't. Well, it's obviously a billion-dollar property, a beautiful zoo, and I think people forget about it. San Diego's great, LA's great, the zoo's there, but I think if you go up to the San Diego or to the Santa Barbara Zoo, you'll get a really great treat.
Right.
Not too crowded. We had a really good time. And then I went to work and almost got stabbed. So it was all a fun day. Yeah, a very, very that's busy, so crazy week. That's right.
I never actually knew that Santa Barbara had a zoo, so that's good to know.
They used to have a crooked neck giraffe there.
Yeah,
it was one of their things.
Passed
he passed away a number of years ago. Yeah, but it was one of their big draws. And since then, he had a question mark.
Really?
Neck. Yeah, it was very strange. So I guess they took him in and loved him, and he was very popular there. The kids were all very sad when he passed, but I think he had a good long life at the zoo.
And God bless him.
It was a fun place. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to be up there. And I will say that living in Southern California, it's one of the few places where you can go from one end of the state to the other and feel like you're in a completely different country.
Yeah.
I mean, from San Diego to Santa Barbara, it felt different, let alone when you're up in Napa and that sort of thing. So we sure do live in a great place.
Thank
you for asking, Michael. I appreciate you asking.
Absolutely.
Now, shall we get past you and I and bring in some of these more interesting
people? I think so.
These talented, fun, interesting people, these two.
Yes. Yes.
As an author, our first guest has penned a memoir, Voice, A Stutterer's Odyssey, which chronicles his struggles as a severe stutterer, how he overcame his harsh impediment, and ultimately the victory that came through performing and writing.
In 2012 and 2014, he was a recipient of the Converting Awareness into Action Award from Stuttering Foundation in New York City for his accomplishments and support of the stuttering community. He served as writer and director for the award-winning short films Snapper and Huge Red Flag. He co-directed, wrote, and co-produced the upcoming feature film Racing Colt with Provost Entertainment, slated for release this year, and he is currently in pre-production with the aforementioned Provost Entertainment for the thriller suspense film Among. Presently, he is in development on two full-length plays, Coffee Stains and The Royals of Detroit, that's a great title, alongside Tony Award and Drama Desk-nominated producer Heather Provost, who is also here with us today.
Some of his many film and television credits include The Shield, Las Vegas, Scrubs, The Office, Sheltered, and upcoming second season of Colony. Theater credits include Desperate Writers, directed by Kay Cole, The Nerd, directed by the late Henry Pollack, Angel Street Translations, Aladdin, a musical spectacular at Disney's California Adventure, and Laughter on the 23rd Floor.
I think that, to interrupt what you just said, I think there was a disconnect between the word colony and theater.
Is that
the
true?
Colony Theater.
Well, of course, but this says the upcoming second season of Colony.
No, that's series.
That's a TV series.
And that's a TV series you did, correct?
So I am disconnected.
Yeah. Well, I think that...
There's a lot of colonies
going on. We should colonize around here, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely.
But the upcoming second season of Colony, and what channel is that on?
That's on USA.
Okay, so people look that up, because I've seen that just briefly before, and it looked very, very good.
Very
so.
Popular.
Well, that's ironic. To continue, he is the very definition of the Renaissance man, and we are thrilled to have him on the show today. Please welcome Scott Damian.
Welcome, Scott. Welcome.
I think I can peace out now for the rest of my life. You all make me sound so much better.
I got to be honest, you almost turned me into a stutterer as I was trying to read that long intro, man. Could you stop working?
Stop.
You've been doing a lot of work.
It's my mutant power.
Nice. Well, I got it. That's obviously an amazing thing, and I think that what people don't understand about stutterers, I had a good friend who was a stutterer in high school, and I watched as his confidence, he struggled so much with being able to speak during class projects and during group discussions, and I watched him kind of go into a shell for a couple of years. Now, when he came out of it, man, he was one of the smartest, one of the most productive people I ever met, but he really shrunk from his potential because he was so scared to speak up. Did that happen to you as well?
Absolutely. It was basically what Voice, my memoir, is about. It's about how the arts, ironically, how speaking on stage helped me overcome my impediment.
Right.
Like putting myself out there, but becoming someone else. And shifting my mind from my impediment to someone else's struggles or triumphs through a character,
yeah.
I lost myself.
Interesting.
And I would walk around my house in New Orleans, where I was born and raised, and just use accents to speak to people.
Really?
Like, yeah. And it was quite amazing that my father, who's the pragmatic one, who had a Guatemalan accent, would go, no one's going to listen to you if you keep doing that. No one's going to take you seriously.
Wow.
Because he knew how it was to have an accent.
Wow.
So I had to learn my voice. And I, when I was about 21 or 22 is when I finally truly stopped stuttering.
Wow.
So it was a long road, but the arts truly helped me.
Isn't that so true with so many ailments?
Yeah, I think arts, I'd be working in a cubicle.
There's a new therapy called artistic therapy that they're putting courses in some colleges where you can actually pursue a degree in artistic therapy. Sometimes it's dance therapy or whatever.
Right.
And I think that's so fascinating because so many people that I meet in this industry say, you know, listen, when I started out, I was so shy or I was painfully quiet or all these different things. And the arts brought me out of my shell. I think it's true with physical stuff, too. I think that physical ailments, the arts release stress and that sort of thing.
Right.
I think that that's something that's worth exploring and not a cause that gets a lot of money, right? I mean, people don't typically go out and give to these kind of causes.
It doesn't.
So.
And this is when I'm going to say thank you, Michael, because Michael helped with the launch of this book because we did a book launch at the Sterling.
That's right. Sterling's upstairs.
Yeah, fantastic.
And it's fantastic. And I cannot stress that enough. It's fantastic.
Great.
And we wanted to not make the book about my story, but about everyone's story. And we raised a considerable amount for the Stuttering Foundation.
Yeah.
And I'm really in conjunction with them and the National Stuttering Foundation and SAY, which is in New York, where they give young aspiring artists their voice. So they're few and far between because it's such, besides the King speech, it's not really talked about.
That's interesting, yeah.
And it really needs, because there are 6.5 million stutterers.
Wow.
That's a lot of suffering.
Yeah.
Because it not only affects the children, it affects the parents and the ones who love them.
Yeah.
And it really needs to be. In fact, Heather and I have been developing a musical based on the memoir.
Yeah.
About how a teenager finds his voice through song.
I love it.
Yeah, because stutterers, when I sang, I never stuttered.
Yeah,
and I think everyone has, as Heather and I like to say, we all have a right to be heard, and that's what this musical is all about.
That's great.
It's like just getting your voice out there, and we're hoping to be in conjunction with the Stuttering Foundation to raise awareness.
Now, are you writing the book and the music?
Oh, I'm not that talented. No, I'm just writing the book, but we've done a couple of workshops.
We have a wonderful composer.
Yes.
Who is?
Keith Potts.
Cool.
Well, now the stuttering
cause...
Is that
Mrs. Potts' son?
Long lost son. She doesn't like to talk about it.
No. I miss my ba-bump-bump button. there's obviously a great comedian who just won, I think, America's Got Talent, the stuttering comic.
Correct.
And obviously, I think his was from a head injury, so maybe a little bit different. But still, he gave great notice to people of, hey, look, I'm pretty funny, and this ailment isn't going to hold me back, which I thought was so brave. But more than that, so courageously fun. It was like you watched it, and you wanted to laugh because he was so good-natured about it. Yeah, really great. I think he came in second, right?
Yes.
Amazing.
So. And self-deprecation is
right.
The key to having people accept you and to people connecting with you.
Yeah.
You know, because it just wipes out shame. And the problem with stuttering is that we're all shameful. And what's great about the stand-up comic, whom I can't remember.
I, of course, can't remember his name right now either, yeah.
He just erases all shame, so it's wonderful.
And what is funny, too, if anybody hasn't seen him, go ahead and Google the stuttering comic, and you can check out some of his clips on YouTube. Yeah. But if nothing else, showing that you are who you are, and you can, of course, always work to improve yourself. Right. But above all, don't lose your voice just because you're afraid, which I think is a remarkable thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And especially with this, because you all recognize services, I'm wondering if we have a lot of actors out there listening.
Not that many. We have like six people who listen to the show.
Well, all
seven.
You six out there.
My wife's listening today.
Hello. Oh, the Provost family's out there, too.
Yes. We went skyrocketing.
Bruce Willis, Emily Blunt, and Sam Neill are all stutterers. And
wow.
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
They found their voice through performing. Emily Blunt is very outspoken about it. Bruce Willis has started to come forth. Sam Neill's very outspoken and very. So there are stutterers out there, more than we know, who find their voice through the arts, which is fantastic.
Where can people buy your book?
Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or they can go to Behler Publications, which is Behler Publications.com.
And the title one more time?
Voice, A Stutterer's Odyssey. I like you, man. You're wonderful. Yes. Thank you, Michael.
And, of course, Drew Lynch is the Stuttering Comics name as well.
Oh,
so
good.
Check him out. Yeah. I think this is something that's great to talk about. More than anything, I want to hear about how you turn this into a show. What's the story of the show, and how does it take place? And what do you want people to get out of the show that you're workshopping the musical?
Well, we are still workshopping it, and Heather, you can jump in. Heather is a big part of this because she's a
Now, producer. She's producing, Heather. Are you producing?
She's
that's correct?
Producer.
Awesome. Okay.
And her background is Broadway musicals and plays, so she knows what she's talking about.
Right?
Right. And she just throws something at me when something's bad.
Ow!
But it's basically about a boy named Abby who grows up in this suburban bubble, and his parents want him safe and sound and to keep him safe, and he wants to express himself. And he changes schools all the time because, as I experienced as a stutterer, my temper's flared when someone didn't listen to me or they made fun of me, because there are a lot of bullies out there.
Right.
And he found, and this boy, Abby, changes schools and comes across the drama teacher, who's a Christian brother. And he introduces Abby to this world of make-believe, to singing, to
wow,
to theater. And and that's what his pursuit is, because there he finds his voice. So not only does he have to overcome fears, but he has to win the approval of his parents, who want to keep him safe.
Right.
Don't go out there, don't put yourself out there, because they're afraid of what the world's going to say about
him. Wow.
So it's this constant struggle for this young teen who is trying to find his voice. And along the way, he finds love.
And how does that relate to Talking to Myself? It's a solo show. Talking to Myself is a solo show, is that correct?
Well, what I love about James, James Arnold Taylor, is that he does, I would think, and maybe I'm wrong, but like thousands of voices.
It looks like the stuff I found on you online, I couldn't tell if it was you. I thought it was somebody else at first. That's amazing. Yeah.
It's bananas.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And James is such a tour de force with his voice. And James and I, we're very dear friends. We've been friends for about 10 years. But when I connect with James, and then I'm going to give it all because I'm tired of hearing myself. James, I get a lot during the rehearsal process, is that James came from that type of immersion into the arts to escape the reality of life that young boys and girls experience in a very torn and dysfunctional family, if you don't mind me saying that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so he found, but he's making a lot more money than I am with him. He found his voice doing that, and I just found it so inspiring and so remarkable that James overcame his fears through his voice.
Wow.
And he's fantastic. And I'm done.
Well, now, before we dig into James here, I want to tell people, obviously, you've done some amazing, amazing projects. You've been involved with the Star Wars projects, is that correct?
Yes. So, Obi-Wan Kenobi on Star Wars Eclipse.
A little-known character.
Yes, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I was him for, like, three Halloweens in a row.
Right, yeah.
It was just my bathrobe and a toilet paper roll, but that's...
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to be Obi-Wan for the last 15 years in the world of Star Wars, as well as host some of the largest Star Wars celebrations on the planet at
wow.
Disney World and Florida, and taking the show to Ireland and Japan, and then there's a video game called Ratchet and Clank, and Ratchet,
of course,
we just had the movie Ratchet and Clank came out this year. And I, course, play Ratchet in that. And there's a lot of video game characters like that. But then
the Green Lantern, Batman, all
Spider-Man,
these different ones, right?
Spider-Man,
you've played everybody I ever wanted to be when I was 8, right? Is that what it is?
Flash, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Magneto, Professor X,
unbelievable,
Iceman, the Human Torch, both
wow.
Ice and fire. I don't know. And then a lot of my work is doubling celebrities. So if they're not available to do their own voice, I actually come in and fill in for them.
Can you do Michael Sterling? Because he's been looking for a week off.
I've got to get that beautiful
resonance. We don't have to be here. We could just leave the studio, let James do the entire thing.
You could probably do it over the phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're saving a ton of money on the show today.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a show, my one-man show, Talking to Myself, which I'm so grateful to the Colony Theater letting me put this on there, but also that we're doing this wonderful benefit to help the mentorship program as well as the theater itself. And the show is on April 20th. I'll be doing the show where I do about 200 different voices in the show.
Good grief.
But I also tell about my life as a voice actor, and as Scott was mentioning, so I grew up in Santa Barbara, California, and I grew up in kind of a, you know, the typical broken, you know, split family with a divorced family and the one kid that did voices and nobody understood why. And I knew from a very young age that I wanted to do this. And so I've pursued it since I was 4 years old. And I tell that story in the show. But it's just kind of a wild adventure because I think everybody is fascinated when they see all of us, you know, with our headphones on at the microphone. And they lean in a little. They want to see
right.
that. And there's a lot of celebrities that do voice. But the voice actors within this world, it's a very small community.
It's true.
And we all do these cartoons and stuff. That's why I just came from doing a cartoon. And you walk out of there. I was in a cartoon with the guy that's the voice of SpongeBob just now.
Oh, I just met him
Tom
recently.
Kenny,
yeah, he's very good.
Brilliant actor.
He's very good.
So voice actors are our own kind of breed where we aren't always wanting to be seen, but we love being heard.
Yeah.
And so this takes you, as I say, into my little padded room with me, and I talk to myself and give the audience an experience that hopefully they don't get anyplace else.
A good friend of the show, Ed Hall, did a project, a Fred Willard project with the gentleman who does SpongeBob's voice, and he's got a lot of energy, man.
Tom Kenny really goes.
Yeah.
Do you know Ed? Do you know Ed Hall?
I know of Ed, but I don't know Ed personally.
David Letterman's?
Yeah.
And of course, Jay Leno for years and years. He was one of the few people to work for both Dave and Jay, and he's a good friend, and he plays Scrooge in our version of A Christmas Carol that we've done
great.
For 20 years up in Thousand Oaks. So, yeah, good friend. But it's interesting because I've learned a little bit about the voiceover world from him, and it is a close-knit group.
Well, not only what he does, which I think is even more elite than the announcer-type stuff, because a good friend of mine, Don LaFontaine.
Of course.
Don.
Yeah, he was really my idol, and from which I learned, you know, the little that I do in that area, but also a good buddy of mine who just passed away recently, Miguel Ferrer.
Mm. Oh, Miguel, yeah, I worked with Miguel many times. And Don and I were on promos together all the time on Fox, and he was one of the most giving, generous people.
Yes, he was.
He has the Don LaFontaine Voiceover Lab, which is at the Screen Actors Guild building, and I'm actually a board member there, and so we are always doing whatever we can to try to help people. You know, if you're somebody that's wanting to get into voiceover, you go to the Don LaFontaine
the lab.
Voiceover Lab.
Right.
Well, and Miguel in some sort of way kind of filled a little void after Don's passing and got into that area of motion pictures and television, that being that voice.
He had that wonderful
yes,
look at the world.
Yes,
very nice.
Yes, exactly.
Well, obviously the show we're talking about here today, and it's a benefit, is that correct?
This
is a benefit, and it's called Talking to Myself, and it's not the story of me in high school when nobody would sit with me at the lunch table. It's an actual show at the beautiful Colony Theater. Talking to Myself. And it's the easiest way to get tickets is to go to www.colonytheater.org. That's colonytheatre.org. And it's April 20th. It's one night only, correct?
Yes, one night, one show. You don't want to miss it.
That's right.
I could do the big announcer guy telling you all.
And that's 6:30 cocktails and a silent auction.
That's
what's
right
going to be in the
alley.
Silent auction, guys?
There are a lot of cool items in this.
Yeah, we have some great items. Would you like to?
Sure. I mean, we have some fun celebrity signed scripts. Professional athletes sign like football.
Nice.
We've got some fantastic spa items. We've got tickets to with VIP passes to Disney.
Nice.
We've got
a lot of Warner Brothers stuff for the upcoming film, Wonder Woman signed by the director. Justice League swag, if you will, from, signed by Zack Snyder.
Some Star Wars stuff. Some posters signed by myself and other castmates from the Clone Wars.
Great.
And who knows? Maybe we'll even get somebody to auction off a voicemail from Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Oh,
nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Those are always the best.
Very inspiring. Do you have, if you reach the level in your career, James, where you can do this work from your home?
I do, in the home studio?
I
would say that probably at least half, probably more than half of my work is done from my home. In fact, I will leave here and race home and do some of the promos for Fox. You know, The Simpsons coming up next on Fox. That voice, that's me. And so that's me from my booth, my little padded room at home. And so, yeah, I do most of that from home. A lot of the animation work, the video game work is done out in the studios, but commercial work, promo work, things like that are all done from home.
Because Don LaFontaine, when he was alive, of course, you know, he was doing 6-7 jobs a day, and
but
he did it with a chauffeur and a limousine.
Yeah, right,
yeah,
he had to.
Absolutely, and I don't know if people realize this about Don LaFontaine. He worked more SAG contracts than any other actor has ever worked.
Has that been statistic? That's amazing.
Proven fact.
Wow.
And because he did every trailer for every show, everything. And you know, he was so busy, and people thought, oh, the guy's got a limo. It's like, no, it's because
he had to.
Constantly having to look
exactly.
at scripts. Plus, Don was famous for you get two takes. And not like he comes in and says, I give you two takes and that's it.
I'll get it right in two.
It was, he never missed.
Wow, that's
he
amazing.
He never fumbled.
Right.
And he would
that's
just come
amazing.
In and give you two takes. This is happy. This is a little more intense. And then there you go. He was amazing.
Wow.
And his wife is quite talented, Nita
She's
Whitaker.
She's a beautiful, wonderful singer.
Yeah, she headlines for me at
Stirling's
Upstairs, once a year. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. She's lovely.
Now, James, since this industry obviously has changed so much with the invention of modern home studios that can do a very good job, has that made it harder or easier for voice actors to get into the business?
You know, it's made it easier for people to get into the business or to live anywhere, but it's made it harder for the working Hollywood voice actor to keep working because there's so much of a saturation of it. And again, you know, I always try to think there's enough work for everybody, but there's all these various ways that people can get into voiceover now, and it does make it to where it used to be, okay, it's you and 15 other guys auditioning.
Right.
Now it's you and 215 other guys.
Yeah, and you're not in a room anymore to stare somebody down. It's all coming from all over. That's true. And I got to think that makes the rates hard to keep up as the people keep undercutting. No, look, I can do
absolutely.
This. That's a difficult thing. Yeah. And it can ultimately hurt the quality, but obviously anybody who's producing good work will make sure they get good talent and do it the right way.
Yeah.
How can the rates be undercut? Not union. Right?
I will tell you,
right.
I have a number of friends who have said that they are of some stature in the industry, and they would submit under their own name because in the breakdown it would say a such and such type.
Yes.
And then they wouldn't get the job, and then they would submit under a pseudonym and book the job. And it's like, that's terrifying when you think about it because it was a lower rate for non-union performers.
So, it's really funny. For years I would see my name on the we want a James Arnold Taylor type. And there was this one for a Disney project, very specifically. They said, we want a James Arnold Taylor type. I thought, I got this. This is great. And the guy that booked it is my dear friend Phil Morris. And Phil,
we love Phil. He's been on the show. He's fantastic.
He was Jackie Childs on Seinfeld.
Of course,
you put the bomb on.
That's right.
Phil is the complete opposite of me. He's this strapping, beautiful, rugged, good-looking guy. And he booked it, and I did not.
He's great, but those are two very different vocal types, aren't they? That's very funny. Wow. When it goes to show, casting directors do not always know what... Actually, that's how we all see you, is like Phil Morris. When you walked in, we all just went, wow.
That's what my wife says.
Well, obviously, a shout out to Phil Morris, who's a good friend of the show, and his dad, of course,
like
is such
him.
A fantastic actor as well.
Was.
So, good, talented family there. What a thrill to get the bonus of you in studio today. Thank you for stopping by.
Oh, sure.
Tell me what you feel when you walk into that Colony Theater. Is that a fun place to work? Because it's one of my favorite houses in Southern California.
Mine too. You know, it is one of these places where I've driven by. I've told Heather and Scotty this. I drove by and. All the time I go, gosh, I'd love to do my show there.
Yeah.
And then just one day they called and said, would you like to do your show? I'm like, oh, thank you, God. it's a beautiful theater. It's perfect for this show because it's that kind of, what is it, thrust stage, as they call it. And the seats are just, there's really not a bad seat in the house. And
it's
everybody can just see everything there. And for this particular show where I move left to right center and there's this huge screen behind me where I'm doing, so the show is essentially I'm doing a lot of live cartoons and doing just all these various characters throughout. I think it's a really comfortable, almost like a living room environment for somebody that's, you know, just wants to be there and take in this show. But at the same time, it's very formal theater, if it needs to be, you know. So, yeah, I'm very excited to do this there. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, the show is called Talking to Myself, and it's at the Colony Theater. Visit www.colonytheaterwithanre.org, and you can check that out. It's coming up April 20th. Obviously, you've toured the show for the USO, correct?
Yeah, the USO. I've done it for Disney. 5 years in a row, I did it at Disney World Hollywood Studios while hosting Star Wars Weekends and such. I've done it at the Anaheim Convention Center in front of 5,000 people in a sold-out show. This is the one I'm the most excited about because this is where my peers, there's going to be tons of other voice actors in the audience. So just like friends of mine that are coming. So, you know, if you want to meet other voice actors, go to
that's
this.
Right, yeah. Come network at the Colony.
Yeah, and agents will be there and producers and casting people will be there too. So, but yeah, so everything from Yabba Dabba Doo, Fred Flintstone, which I've been the voice of for many years, to Obi-Wan Kenobi,
to Johnny Test, who's an 11-year-old obnoxious little kid.
So, you know, I might do Chris Walken is crazy. You know. Wait a second, Doc. You mean to tell me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, Marty, if you're going to build a time machine into a car, why don't throw some stuff?
So I might just kind of relive some of my favorite movie moments on stage. That's some of the
ladies and gentlemen, we're having Michael J. Fox on next week.
Right.
Book James right now.
You could just book one person for the whole year.
That's now. Right. We're in good shape. We're going to film all the shows for the rest of the year as soon as the show's over today.
That's great.
Fantastic, James.
And the beautiful thing about the Colony Theater is complimentary parking.
Yes.
And just feet away from the entrance to the
theater. It's pretty amazing.
Theater.
Yeah. Well, people, it's covered.
It's a sweet thing.
And it's patrolled. Yeah.
People who listen to the show, and then David Rose there, a great, great friend, gave me my first job in Los Angeles as an 18-year-old kid fresh out of high school, gave me a great job there. And the Colony Theater remains one of the most hospitable locations in Southern California. Yeah. If you want to go find an easy place to park, a good, safe environment with great food nearby, you visit the Colony and you'll see a great show and have a great night out.
True. But we want you to eat and drink at the theater this time because the fact that it's a benefit and you have so many things to see while you're eating and drinking.
Absolutely.
Drink a little more, then you'll buy something.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, maybe two or three things.
Yep. Right? We're making money all over the place. It's a good thing. Obviously, this is a benefit. And tell us exactly who it benefits again and where the money's going.
Well, it's for the mentorship program that the Colony Theater has and for the Colony itself. I don't know if Heather, if you want to.
And that serves teams.
Heather, do you mind?
And,
We the Colony, and thank you so much for those kind words about the
theater. Absolutely.
Love
we love the Colony.
Yeah, and you know, we're really focused on a rebrand over there while respecting the legacy
of course.
That exists. And we are looking to implement some really cool programs, one being the mentorship production program, which will give underserved youth an opportunity to shadow lighting designers, scenic designers, sound designers, directors, producers, so they can just be exposed to the theater world and to our industry. I mean, so much has been cut, you know, programs have been cut from schools that people just aren't exposed to it anymore. And I think it's a great way to expose them and to, while also being in production.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a program that is that we need to be in production to have this program thrive.
And that's right.
So we're all really excited about it. We've unveiled our children's Colony Kids programming.
That's great.
Initiative, we're really excited about it, and we've got a really cool show this weekend as well. Twinkle Time and Friends. We're doing a huge event with a lot of games and food trucks and maybe some mimosas for the adults, and it's and she's fantastic. She's like Lady Gaga for kids.
What's the name of the show again?
Twinkle. It's Springtime with Twinkle Time.
Wow.
But we're really trying to program some cool, fresh, innovative, you know, theater and events. And we just had the Indie Series Awards in there, which was you know, really, really exciting. And this show is so.
Oh,
you know,
come on. It's because I'm right here.
You know, it's a really cool multimedia event, and it's just what we're trying to get in there. So we're excited that this is a benefit performance, and we can really, you know, showcase the talent that this gentleman is.
And showcase the theater and show what people are missing when they decide to not go to theater in Los Angeles. I think theater in L.A. is just one of those things that people need to realize. It's here, it's alive, and it's well. And there's some of the most talented, you know, voices in the world are here. It's like, come see them.
And we're making it easy for them with parking.
Right, exactly.
Well, and we're going to talk about another of those great shows here on our live arts calendar in just a moment as well. But there's so much good theater here in Southern California. And I think you're right to say that people sometimes forget about it. There's so many other things to do, but we always say it on the show. Michael's famous for it. Put down that remote control, get out of your seat, and go see some live theater. You'll be inspired, and you'll feel great, and you'll get to see some great stories.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And speaking of great theater in town, as you just said, in our live arts calendar today, Into the Woods. You can venture back into the woods with the acclaimed fiasco theater production that the Associated Press calls ingenious and bewitching, unanimously praised and extended twice at Roundabout's Laura Pell's Theater. The Tony Award-winning musical, classic by Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine, has been mounted with boundless imagination.
This witty and wild theatrical reinvention produced by the Dodgers and Network's presentations is Into the Woods as you've never seen it before, including dazzling songs like Children Will Listen and No One Is Alone. This thrillingly clever new version made Ben Brantley of the New York Times fall head over heels, mind the wolf, heed the witch, and honor the giant in the sky at this extraordinary musical about the power of wishes and what happens when they do come true.
Performances run now through May 14th at the world-renowned Amundsen Theater with tickets starting at $25. For showtimes and ticket information, call 213-972-4400 or visit centertheatergroup.org.
And obviously, Center Theater Group's website is fantastic. If you call up the box office, the people there are great as well. So another great venue to get out and see some shows. So many great shows here in Southern California and really across the country, Michael. I mean, we need people all over the country to get out and go support live theater because there's no more important time than right now to go see theater. So spring is a wonderful time to support the live arts as all the summer activities are about to spring into action as well.
Exactly. And to find out more about Into the Woods, ladies and gentlemen, and other great events near you, go to performingartslive.com.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we've got these two gentlemen out of the way, and now it's time.
Okay. Beauty.
That's right.
You step into our lives here. Raise the bar. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a Tony Drama Desk Outer Critics Circle and Drama League Award-nominated producer. Critically acclaimed hits on Broadway includes Reasons to Be Pretty by Neil LaBute, with three Tony nominations, including Best Play and the musical Title of Show, which received a Tony nomination for Best Book of a Musical.
She produced the hugely successful Under My Skin segment of the Pink Campaign on Broadway, with proceedings going to the Susan G. Komen Foundation. She also produced and directed the California Theater's acclaimed production of Driving Miss Daisy and Love Letters.
Here today on State of the Arts, please welcome, formally and officially, the one and only Heather Provost.
Well, we want to get to you. We have so much to talk about here today, but your resume, honestly, I ran out of ink on my printer trying to print the work that you've done here. Do you ever stop working? Are you exhausted? Do you need to take a nap? Because we can make time for that.
I would love to.
You've obviously worked coast to coast and done a ton of shows. How satisfying is it to be here at the Colony Theater, active in this new renovation and this rebranding of a great theater already?
It is incredible. I mean, back a million years ago when I was a performer, the Colony was one of the places I did my first show in Los Angeles in a show called Sideshow.
A great show and a great production there. Directed by Nick DiGruggio, right? A great actor,
yeah. And that's where I met the fantastic Barbara Beckley. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with that theater. And I always, you know, when I made the transition to producing, I always thought if I come back to L.A., I need to get back to the Colony Theater. I left my heart there. Like, that was the space. And sure enough, now I'm over there, and, you know, we're getting things on track and really focused on the future, and there are exciting times. The people that, you know, work at this theater that I work with on a day-to-day basis are just... they're just amazing people, committed, focused, smart, talented. You know, Brenda and Janitra and Barbara, you know, we're all in the office just focused on the end game and trying to make this, you know, hugely successful.
And of course, we're talking about Barbara Beckley,
yes.
who is another of my favorites. She's been dedicated to theater in this town for more years than you can count, since she was obviously 5 years old, because she's certainly been doing amazing work here. And I remember seeing her outside. She was such a constant figure at the Colony, and she grounded that so well. And she's still involved with this, correct?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And I think that's so important for people to know that while there are great new things going on, it is connected to their wonderful past as well.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I've had the pleasure of working there recently, too, you know, with LA's Next Great Stage Star.
Yeah, I was just starting to...
Yeah, that transition was happening. And I agree with you about all the people that are running the place. And you know, the studios are finding out about it, too, and is the possibility of leasing it for productions, which, of course, brings a whole different level of income into the theater, which is very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a very cool hybrid model going on right now. We're
right.
We do some, you know, cool rentals to... filming and whatnot, and then we can also have our own productions that bring in. So
as well, it should be. I think everybody does that, right?
No doubt. Absolutely.
The theaters are smart to do that.
Got to diversify, use that space. Yeah.
So you are, but Scott, now are you involved in officially involved with the Colony Theater, or just in the sense of how you're involved with the mentoring program?
And when Heather told me that she was going over to the Colony. I got her drunk and convinced her to bring me over there.
He's on our board of directors.
Yes. Yeah. I'm on the board of directors, and I feel so passionately, as Heather does, and as everyone else at the Colony does, about theater here in L.A. Theater in L.A., they say, it's dying, because of the union stuff, blah, blah. I think there's stories to be told out there, and original content especially. And that's what's great about James's show, such an original show, and other shows that we want the Colony to brand as well and have that connected with the Colony, because new voices and storytelling is the future of theater, especially in Los Angeles. You know, I think it's great that they're doing musicals that have been done before and everything, and we all need that. We all need to visit those classics, but we also need new content.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's wonderful about the Colony, is that it's a great space to not only do traditional shows, but to also do original content. And just bring a voice to L.A. theater.
There's very few theaters, really, of that are equal in size to this particular theater, which I think you said somewhere just under 300, right?
Right, 271.
Right. And then, of course, another would be the El Portal,
which is
a little under 400, I think.
Is that
I think so, between 300 and 400.
Yeah.
And both, you know, very credible spaces for doing, larger productions.
Right.
With good backstage areas. And that's important here,
But I think you also, with the Colony, you get an extra benefit in that it's in Burbank. It's in one of the greatest areas you can go to. In fact, Heather, can you get the address out real quick of just how people can find the Colony Theater when they're going to Burbank to visit? It's in that mall, correct?
Well,
what's the name of that mall?
The parking garage is right there at the Media Center. It is 555 North 3rd Street.
I believe that's correct. 555 North 3rd.
Yeah. Well, my car just automatically goes there.
Right, I know, me too. But when I think the easiest way to say it is when you're driving down 3rd Street and you come to, what's the end street that 3rd Street
dead is?
Cypress. So it's right there, and there's that huge parking garage there. You pull into it, and the Colony Theater entrance is actually inside. There is a street entrance as well, but it's inside the parking garage.
Yeah.
People probably drive by it all the time and may not know it's there. So.
Is Cypress the street that is adjacent to Burlington, the store?
No,
that's the main street.
One block over.
It's on the corner there.
Right. Oh, so that's the other side. Right.
Exactly.
Right. Coming in that other way.
But if you go down 3rd Street to 555 North 3rd
Street,
just
ask Siri.
That's true. Unfortunately,
maybe not so much, though.
But the thing I love about it is so many people drive there and park in that garage and never know the Colony.
We're trying to change that.
So, and that's an interesting thing, too, because the Colony, it's kind of a home that's been there for a long time. It's not like a lot of other theater companies that moved around so much. The building is deeply connected to the people who've worked there.
Wasn't that space built by the city of Burbank for the original Colony Theater Company?
It was leased by the company.
Who would have located elsewhere at that time.
Yeah.
You know what's great also, if I may add? We've been exposed to a lot of... thank you. We've been exposed to a lot of what happens behind the curtain. And the board members of that of the Colony, they're not only generous and passionate about theater, but they're also so open to this new step in this direction. And it's so believe in this theater because it is right there in the heart of Burbank. And Burbank is such a is such a mecca, not only for shopping, but for the arts.
Yeah.
But
and
for
food.
The arts.
There's some great food.
Right.
Too.
Well, and obviously so many studio employees there as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's so
true. I mean, we're tremendously grateful to the city of Burbank for, you know, allowing us to be there. It's it's an ideal space. It's a beautiful area.
And while we love West Hollywood and we love NoHo, all the great districts that do theater, there's no doubt that Burbank offers something very different, which I've always appreciated. You get to see theater in a little different way. There's shopping nearby, lots of fun things nearby, and parking is so easy there. It's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. So. Indeed. Mm-hmm. So we are at that time. Andrew, what
Let's
time is that?
These people.
What
it is
that?
Time, my friends, for...
And now, embarrassing moments.
Our entire yearly budget goes to that sound effect.
So. I'm just scanning. Who's going to be first?
Did you notice none of them got up and fled? I don't think we've properly embarrassed them. Yeah, they don't know what's coming. We do this segment here, very much like your mentor program. We want young performers to know that even if something goes wrong, theater is about learning to get through and get better each time you do it. It's one of the greatest things we can teach in the live arts. Have any of you had something that happened to you where you thought, that's it, I'm done, I'm walking away from the industry, this was too embarrassing, and then came back? From that?
Like right now?
Like this show when I was asked that question.
How much time do you have?
That's right.
You know, I mentioned this in my book. I mentioned this in my book, Voice, A Stutterer's Odyssey. One of my... I'm picking up from Michael Sterling. I'm plugging it.
There you go.
One of my first jobs out here was with James Caan in the show Vegas.
Wow, no pressure, man.
No pressure. And this is when I was still bouting with getting over my stuttering because I didn't want to screw up. It was Sonny Corleone. I didn't want to get whacked. He comes on very gracious. It's very, you know, he owns a set. And they give me last minute changes. And my stuttering brain's going whack.
Oh, yeah.
This word, no, Scott, you're going to fail. We get on set. I finally have a stammer where James Caan says something to me. And I stammer, and it's in character. And he plays along with it. So I thought it was doing an acting choice,
right?
The director comes
really
to me after. Yeah, and this is the really strong. And this is the Cliff Note version. The director comes up to me and says, hey, you know that pause you do? Don't do that. So they start doing my close-up on me. And when James tells me to hush up, I don't hush up. I just keep going through.
Wow.
And he yells, cut! And he gets red. And I see Sonny Corleone coming out. And he's going to bash me with a trash can. And he goes... Who told you to just stop, to just keep on talking? We had a good thing going. You were supposed to stop.
Wow.
And I could only, throw myself under the bus or James Caan.
Right.
Well, it was a director. The director just ripped, James Caan ripped into the director.
Wow.
He started yelling at him, screaming at him. And finally I said, Mr. Caan, how should I do it? He goes, you do it your way, kid.
Wow.
Who was the director, by the way?
I don't know.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Yes. I don't know, but he was this young guy who was like, I don't know. And
yeah, right.
Looking around.
He's not in the industry anymore, so.
Right. And I felt like I was in a scene from The Godfather.
Wow.
And James Caan was so professional.
Yeah, what can you do?
Like, do it your way, kid. That's the best thing an actor who stutters can
hear.
Wow.
No kidding, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Heather.
Amazing. Heather, what you got? Quick, be embarrassed.
Okay,
go.
I was in a show a long time ago, we all had to run off stage in this mass exit, and I decided it'd be a good time to run right into the lighting tree that was in the wing, so I ran into it. But unbeknownst to me, I was clearly concussed. Okay,
oh,
I had no.
no
idea, and I wandered back on the stage.
Oh my gosh.
And my forehead is like it's just growing. It's a huge purple golf ball growing, and one of my girlfriends in the cast, she's like, I don't think you should be out here.
Oh no!
And I'm just wandering on the stage.
That sounds like how Michael and I do the show each week. Actually, that's not that. Wow. Okay.
She got me off the stage, and I had a concussion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm going to just keep going.
And after that, you were a stutterer from then on, right? Oh, my goodness.
Mr. Taylor.
And I'm trying to heal her.
I don't know. I don't know if I can top Heather.
Physical injury.
I've been very blessed to be able to work with a lot of truly amazing people, and in the world of Star Wars, too, with Mark Hamill, who's a dear friend now, and Carrie Fisher, Frank Oz, Warwick Davis, and Carrie and I. So I had this moment that I call a phony photo memory. And so we take... At the end of the interview, we do these shots because everybody's got their cell phones.
Sure.
And I said, Carrie, we can do whatever you want to do. And without missing a beat, she said, I want to spank you. So in front of 3,000 people, I got on Carrie's lap, and she gave me a spanking. So I don't know if it was really embarrassing or pleasing.
I was going to say.
But it's a good story.
And that job I did for free.
That's right. But those was one of the more wild ones of my times with Carrie Fisher. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, obviously, we miss her very much. We had her sister on. She was Jolie Fisher, who's amazing, of course, as well. And and Carrie's very much missed. And we send out well wishes to her family on her passing.
Thank you so much, guys.
What a great group of guests.
James, what a nice surprise to have you.
Oh, yes. A pleasure.
And best
Scott,
wishes on the
course, Heather.
Great thing you guys are doing.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, you're welcome.
Come
you're
on
welcome.
Out to the show.
Good. Yeah.
Everybody come on out
to the show.
April 20th.
Hey, there are cocktails. I'm definitely going to be there. Don't worry
about
it.
An event. There's a good
And thank you, Andrew.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next week. Where at, Michael?
On the radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.